Look at our text this morning. Be sharing from Luke chapter 24. We'll begin our reading in verse 36. Luke 24, beginning in 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself." Say that. "It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Verse 45, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. John 20, beginning in 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, as we saw in the video, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." May the Lord bless the reading of his word together to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, I spoke to the men's group at breakfast yesterday morning. Great time of fellowship. I want to thank Brother Bagan for coordinating that meeting, not to mention the food. I suppose I gave the guys a sneak peek of this message, and I admit that in putting a talk together for that event yesterday, the total solar eclipse that we experienced on Monday was pretty easy to talk about. Low-hanging fruit, all you preachers out there. I like the graphic that was posted last week. An eclipse is a cosmic reminder that the universe is not a random collection of matter and events that happen by chance. The cosmos is so finely tuned that we can know precisely where every heavenly body will be 200 years from now down to the minute. These events remind us that the universe is not an accident, and neither are we. God made both, and He is in control. As we continue our series this morning on walking the roads with Jesus, we come to this passage where the risen Lord appears to the group of disciples. Last week we looked at the appearance of Jesus to two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. The words of those two guys ring in our ears. They said, "Didn't our hearts burn as he opened the scriptures to us?" In hindsight, in the Monday morning quarterback way of thinking, those two disciples realized that Jesus had been with them walking for quite a ways on the road. The two Emmaus Road disciples had immediately returned to Jerusalem to reunite with the community of faith. And they came with the message, "We have seen him. He is alive." Verse 36 in our text says, "While they were discussing these things." And what a conversation that must have been around the table. There was a report from the women and some of the men about an empty tomb on that first day of the week. Then there comes this report from Emmaus, two eyewitnesses who claimed to have had dinner with them after a long walk. The evidence is building. Something special is about to happen. Something special has happened. I spoke to the men yesterday on the subject of evidence. We are obsessed with evidence. The definition of that word is that evidence is information that leads toward a conclusion. Evidence is information that leads toward a conclusion. Well, certainly there were questions. There were lots of questions. Well, they were about to be answered. Point one in this message: when there are questions, Jesus is there. When there are questions, Jesus is there. Again, verse 36, while they were still talking about this, while they were discussing this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." In the middle of an intense discussion, Jesus shows up. And the first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be with you. Shalom." Jesus knew that in this discussion, as in so many situations of our lives, peace is what is needed. Jesus appeared among them. Friends, he didn't communicate this time through a messenger or an angel. He shows up himself. When the inevitable questions of life rise up, some of them overwhelming, Jesus is with us to answer and to take the confusion and the discouragement and the pain and turn it to peace. His first word to them was shalom. Peace be with you. It's a good friend among us today who is part of the 12 Stones community, and while I served there in worship ministry, I got to know Melissa Brittner, and I appreciate and respect her passion for understanding our messianic heritage. When I read this passage, I thought of Melissa, and I knew she would have thoughts regarding this word, shalom. So I've asked her if she would share with us a little insight from the Hebraic perspective about this wonderful word, shalom. Melissa?
Translated from Greek, the Greek word here would be Kerene.
I was confident that Melissa would have some thoughts. Thank you, Melissa. As we continue in our text, we see in verse 37 that he addresses the number one concern here. And point two in the message of Jesus is peace, shalom. And assurance. It's said that they were startled and they were frightened. Verse 37 says they thought they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Note that the disciples were startled. They were frightened. The text said they thought they were looking at a ghost. Jesus gets right to that point of their fear. It reminds me of several times in the scriptures that we read these words, and we've talked about it around here. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Remember the words of Jesus recorded in John 14. Verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The Lord has taught his followers not to live in fear. And here is, in a sense, the ultimate opportunity for Jesus to dispel their fear. And really to dispel our fear. He assures them here that they are not looking at a ghost, that he indeed is risen. I think it is interesting that Jesus asks them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise up in your mind?" Doubts. After 3 years of sitting at his feet, after all of the teaching, all of the miracles that they witnessed, all of the fulfillment of Scripture, Jesus knew that they were afraid. And I said, we love evidence. Evidence is information that leads to a conclusion or to a verdict, so to speak. We love evidence. TV shows have been very popular for years that center on gathering the evidence of crimes. CSI. That series has been totally built on the scientific gathering of evidence in criminal cases. And these TV shows are big hits. People are fascinated by it. Evidence. Somebody say evidence. We see here that Jesus is willing to show the physical proof. He's willing to display the evidence. Listen, the resurrection of Jesus was not the rising of a ghost. Jesus was fully and completely resurrected from the dead. He makes sure that they understand that. Note in verse 39, look at my hands and feet. And then I love this little phrase, and I had you repeat it with me in the reading of the scripture. It is I myself. Here I is. They'd say that down in Tennessee. They still weren't convinced, friends. So not only look at my hands and feet, but you have anything to eat? I love this part. Turns out that fish was on the menu that night. And they invite him to have some fish. Part of the proof, part of the evidence of the bodily resurrection of Jesus is that the risen Lord Jesus had an appetite. Now, I want to turn to the John passage dealing with Thomas. We read this earlier, but oh, what impact it has in the context of Jesus appearing to the disciples and giving them evidence, no proof, that he is risen. John 20:24 says, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. The other disciples testified on the witness stand to Thomas about what they had seen. A court of law would call this a first-person eyewitness account. Not only that, but the eyewitness testimony was from the most credible of sources, those who knew Jesus best, the ones who walked with him and talked with him. And they told Thomas, we have seen the risen Lord, the most credible of witnesses. But he said to them a statement which just, I've read it over and over and over this week in preparation. This statement blows me away. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side. And this phrase makes me so sad. I will not believe. Stunning. What a statement. Thomas refused to believe the evidence that his eyewitness friends gave. Look at this. Unless I see for myself. Unless I feel for myself. Unless I can put my hand in his side, I refuse to believe. Who knows what was going on in Thomas' mind when all the disciples were affirming Jesus' resurrection? Maybe he really wanted to believe, but he knew what he saw at the crucifixion. He might have thought that the other disciples were out of their minds, had seen a vision. Whatever the reason, he didn't believe until he saw Jesus standing before him. Look at verse 26, friends. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom. Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Friends, Jesus knew the mindset of Thomas. Remember, unless I see the nail prints. And I see this as in the love and the grace of Jesus. Jesus reveals himself to Thomas. He passes along, he displays the evidence. Put your finger here. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Thomas had been a witness of the crucifixion. I want you to think about this. The last time Thomas had seen those hands, they were pierced with nails. The last time Thomas had seen his side, there was a Roman spear penetrating and spilling the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus invited Thomas to reach out and touch those places. And then Jesus says, "Stop doubting and believe." Listen, the Lord Jesus loves his children at such a level that he will reveal himself to us. He desires that we know him. And our response should be the same as the response of Thomas, "My Lord and my God." That's what it took for Thomas. He earned the title, the moniker of Doubting Thomas. But once convinced, look at his response. "My Lord and my God." And now look at verse 29. I love this. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." What a powerful word, friends. What a powerful word. There it is. Faith. Not seen, but believed. And believing in the resurrection, just exactly what Thomas doubted, is the key to salvation. Look at this verse in Romans 10. Romans 10, 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And Hebrews 11, 1 says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance." Somebody say assurance. "An assurance of what we do not see." Assurance of what we do not see. Faith is assurance that goes beyond the eyewitness. It goes beyond the eyewitness. It goes beyond the finger in the nail print. Faith, listen, faith goes beyond the hand in the side. Blessed are those who haven't seen but believe. I'm thankful that he said that, because I'm blessed because I haven't seen, but I believe. And I hope you can say that this morning as well. I hope you understand that believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the key to salvation. You know, we try to kind of boil things down. We either that or we try to really, really complicate things. Our salvation can be boiled down to believing in the resurrection of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. There it is. I haven't seen, but I believe. Faith is that assurance. And then last point to close. Number four, Jesus opens the scriptures as the ultimate proof. Verse 45 says, "Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures." He opened himself, his flesh, so that they could see the evidence. And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. See, Jesus is always the teacher. He opens their minds to see the truth. Truth that had been taught about him down through the centuries. The text that we first read says, truth that had been taught about him from Moses, truth from the prophets, truth from the Psalms. Somebody say evidence. The evidence of the fulfillment of all that the scriptures had taught. Here's the verdict. Here's the conclusion. Jesus is risen. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Took a lot for Thomas to come around. Hope it doesn't take so much for you. Hope it doesn't take so much for me to be convinced that the evidence is true. The evidence is true. He is risen. Pray with me.